As you remember, 2 weeks ago, the sixth commandment, do not commit adultery, is also inclusive of all bodily sins. All sins of the body are included in the sixth commandment. We closed with St. Paul speaking to the Corinthians. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And then he goes on to say that people are deceived in this area, and people are especially deceived today when they claim that homosexuality is a normal lifestyle. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards will inherit the kingdom of God. And as we mentioned last week, because homosexuality happens to be a sign of the end of the times. It is a definite sign of the end. We will dedicate a whole session this evening to discuss this passion, which today is taking epidemic proportions, not only just out there, but even within our own Orthodox churches as well. We are not immune, and I have a witness to this. As I was looking over my notes last week after church, I received a phone call from a 27-year-old young man who was quite upset. He told me that he was approached in the church hall, not in the state of Pennsylvania. And of course not at St. Nicholas. But it is a problem. It is something that we need to discuss. As we will see, it has nothing to do with the biology, It has nothing to do with psychology even. The problem is much deeper than that. It has to do with idolatry. Saint Hieronymus, who was born at 347 after Christ, Saint Hieronymus was a great father of the church, a contemporary of Saint Gregory of Theologian, Saint Gregory of Nyssa. He was born in Stridon of Dalmatia, modern-day Serbia. It was Saint Hieronymus in his writing that says that when you see that homosexuality is being accepted in the Christian nations, the end is near. In the Christian nations, homosexuality always existed. It always existed. But now homosexuality is readily accepted as a normal lifestyle in the Christian nations. As we are speaking right now, GLSEN, the nation's largest homosexual activist group, has 85 chapters pursuing the organization, the agenda of the organization, from kindergarten to 12th grade. They are in the school systems. They are teaching. They got in the school systems with a premise that they need to make it easier for the homosexual children. Like children really know if they're homosexual or not. This is ridiculous. As we are speaking, a group called Outright Vermont is using $121,000 of your tax-paying dollars to teach teenagers how to have safe homosexual sex. They are having retreats for this, and the state is paying for this. The state is paying for this. The media is constantly, and they are doing this with a conspiratorial secrecy. You will not believe what happens in the parades. The media will not show half of the things that go on in the New York parade and the other gay pride parades. The lewdness and the nudity, they leave all that out. They leave it all out. Saint Hieronymus says that when you see that Christian nations are accepting homosexuality, this is a strong sign that the end is near. Because homosexuality, as we will see, is the fruit of idolatry. It's the fruit of idolatry. And in the book of the Revelation, in the 17th chapter, we read, "The beast that you saw was and was not, but he will come up again." With the words, with the beast, the church fathers say that the beast is idolatry and the devil. Idolatry existed. Idolatry existed before Christ. But after Christ came into this world, the idols were crushed. So the beast of idolatry and the devil stopped. It was almost in existence in the Empire of Byzantium. Christianity crushed the idols. But now, towards the end of time, idolatry will be surfacing again. Will be surfacing again. And this apostasy, according to St. Paul, we will have the Great Rebellion, or the apostasy. The apostasy will bring the Antichrist, and after the coming of the Antichrist, after 3.5 years, we will have the second coming of Christ. The homosexual activists claim that homosexuality is predestined, meaning that somebody is born with it. They're claiming that if somebody is born with it, then there's nothing that we can do. Therefore, it cannot be a sin. And as you can see, at this point, the attempt is to eliminate the Old Testament. 80% of the Anglican bishops in England do not believe that Adam and Eve existed. 80%. Out of 103 bishops of the Anglican Church, only 3 believe that the Word of God, the Scriptures, is the inerrant Word of God, meaning that there are no mistakes in the Word of God. Only 3 out of 103 bishops that were surveyed by BBC, British Radio. 25% of the same bishops do not believe in the virgin birth. And the Archbishop of that country, England, does not believe in the resurrection of Christ. And he was called heretical even by the English politicians. So as you can see that the Christian nations are getting away from Christianity. And this is what we need to focus on. Because as we get away from the biblical truths, as we get away from the true teachings of the church, then we have the abandonment of God. And as God abandons us, then we have all these demons that come in again. If you remember, just to paint this picture for you, 1054, the Catholic Church, the Western Church, broke off from the East, from the Orthodox. And then we have the Reformation, the children of the Pope, 1500, they break off. And now with Martin Luther, we have hundreds of different innovations, hundreds of different teachings, and now we have more abandonment from God. And now we have scholasticism, and now we have the scientific explosion. Now we have the Industrial Revolution. Now we have the atomic bomb. We have World War I, World War II, homosexuality, atheism, communism, all in the Christian nations. Not in Japan, not in India. All this taking place in the Christian nations. Find this in a verse in the 7th chapter of Matthew, I believe, 7:22. When an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes away, it goes out there. It goes in the desert. It goes into dry places. But it doesn't find any rest, the Bible says. And then that evil spirit comes back to the person that it came out of, and checks and see that the place is now cleaned up. The heart is somewhat clean. And that same evil spirit goes and finds another 7 spirits more wicked than that spirit. And then it enters that person again. But which person? The person that does not live the proper Christian lifestyle. So as you can see, that the worst atrocities and animosities came out of Christian lands was a result of this abandonment of God. And that's what we want to focus on, because biology gives no indication whatsoever that homosexuality has anything to do with genetic predisposition. Most of these studies are flawed. Flawed. Outright flawed. And I will mention a few. Perhaps the most well-known study on the biology of homosexuality appeared in the periodical Science. The lead researcher, Simon LaVey, conducted postmortem examinations on the brains of 19 homosexual men who died from AIDS, and 16 presumed heterosexual men, 6 of whom died of AIDS. His results suggested that the brains of the heterosexual men consistently had more brain cells in a specific area of the brain, INH3, that is allegedly implicated in sexual behavior. First of all, his assumption that there's a relationship between INH3 and sexual behavior has never been clearly established. Also, this scientist recognizes that AIDS may have confounded the results, that sample size was too small to draw any clear conclusions, and that his measurements could be prone to error. Of course, this study could not be duplicated by other scientists. So the conclusion is that we can really conclude nothing from this study. Unfortunately, Science published a letter to the editor much too late, and this letter criticized the journal for prematurely publishing an article of dubious quality. Another study and another approach to studying the biological basis of homosexuality is to observe the occurrence of homosexuality in families and twins in order to suggest a genetic tendency to the behavior. A frequently cited example of such research was done by Michael Bailey and Richard Pillard. The study reported that 50 homosexual men who were identical twins, 52% had a twin brother who was also a homosexual. Among non-identical twins, the rate was 22%. Among non-twin brothers, the rate was 9%, and among adopted siblings, the rate was 11%. The research group also found comparable statistics with females. And of course, this is what you would expect if there was a genetic component to homosexuality. The closer the genetic relationship, the higher the rate of shared homosexuality. To be quite blunt, this study is meaningless. Even if you ignore the sampling biases, because to do this study, they recruited through homosexual publications, and the fact that no other researchers have found such high percentages among identical twins, the study is totally inconsequential. And the truth is, this study actually backfires on the homosexual activists, because if a genetic component was the cause of homosexuality in these twins, we're dealing with identical twins, and identical twins share the same genetic code, which means that if one twin was born homosexual, then the other twin would have to be homosexual 100% of the time, and not 52% of the time. Once again, identical twins share the same genetic code. And if one twin was homosexual, then the other would have to be homosexual as well. Of course, the fact is that twins are always together. They spend a lot of time together. They share clothes, they share a lot of activities, and most likely they will share their sins as well, because they will introduce new activities to each other. So the study does not help the homosexual agenda at all. If anything, it proves that biology has nothing to do with homosexuality. A third type of research focuses on providing evidence for a gay gene. And Dean Hamer led this type of work for the National Institute of Health. And in 1995, homosexual activists made such a great deal out of this, because
1995, Dr. Dean Hamer of the National Institute of Health released the results of a two-year study which he claimed revealed a genetic component to homosexuality. His research group claimed that they discovered a gay gene in the X chromosomes of 40 pairs of homosexual brothers, and the study said that 33% of those pairs shared a common genetic code. Although the study was criticized heavily within the scientific community for a host of flaws, the media broadcast the study as proof of a gay gene. Hamer, himself a homosexual rights activist, bragged about the ease with which someone can manipulate the press. He told a meeting of parents and friends of lesbian and gays, if you tell the press what to write about a scientific study, they will write it. But a study by Dr. Alan Sanders, also of the National Institute of Health, replicated Hamer's study in order to verify the conclusions. Not surprisingly, Sanders could find no evidence to validate either Hamer's findings or his theories. The same study was also replicated by the University of Western Ontario in London, Canada, headed by Dr. George Rice. And Dr. Rice did the same study with a much larger sample, and there was no evidence whatsoever of a gay gene, and Dr. Rice questioned, it is unclear as to why our results are so discrepant from Hamer's original study. And Cal Thomas, a conservative columnist, answered this question, perhaps because Dean Hamer is himself a homosexual activist, and he has a great bias in favor of discovering a biological cause. In another area where the homosexual agenda over the years has pulled the wool over the eyes of the American public is in the numbers of the actual homosexuals in our population. And for decades, activists in the homosexual civil rights movement have claimed that 10% of the population of this country was homosexual. I saw this study myself in our local newspaper, The Morning Call, and at the time I did not question it, even though it did seem a little bit high to me. One more study, however, demonstrates that the actual figure is far lower. The Midlife Development in the United States study, sponsored by the MacArthur Foundation, found that only 2.5% of the 3,032 Americans surveyed were either homosexual or bisexual, and some other studies have shown that homosexuals are less than 1.9% of the population. And the homosexual agenda likes to use this figure because it adds a lot of weight to their demands. They threaten corporations that if they do not give them their rights, then they will boycott, and 10% is a great deal of money to lose over a year's period of time. And even though the media is aware of the other studies, and despite these other studies that proved otherwise, the media remains very sympathetic and they repeat this 10% statistic even though it is totally, totally flawed. The 10% figure originated in the research by Alfred Kinsey, who published works beginning in 1948, and his works were horrible because they ignited the sexual revolution. And many experts now realize that Kinsey's numbers were seriously flawed, since he found much of his data by interviewing sex offenders, pimps, male prostitutes, and prisoners. We can go on and on about these studies, but we just thought we would mention a few, and you can use them as a reference when you speak to somebody about these matters. The fact remains that there is nothing serious, there's no serious scientific study that points to any biological cause of homosexuality.
But because of the liberal media, they have succeeded to make people believe that people are just this way. They're using the same methods, the same strategy that the evolutionists used years ago, the theory of evolution. They're doing exactly the same thing. No facts, nothing at all, but they're constantly brainwashing people, television, newspapers, to the point where if you would ask out of 100 people today in the United States, if you would ask them, anywhere between 75 to 80% will probably say that, yeah, well, they are born this way and there's nothing that they can do about it. Again, it has nothing to do with biology. And as Orthodox Christians, we sin when we talk like this, because we go against the Holy Scriptures. It's anti-scriptural. It's amazing how in this free country, people can get away with so much lying on a daily basis. Again, the problem is not in the biological factor or the psychological. Again, a lot of Western Christians, they do not want to accept the biology factor, but they're accepting the fact that, well, maybe it is because the father did not show enough love to the children, or the mother did not show, she was too aggressive. This is not the case either. That is not the case. Because we have many, many children in the past that were orphaned, and they've never had a father, and we never had this problem. So that is not the case either. The problem is a spiritual one. The problem is a one of theology, and that's why we'll spend most of our time to show why this happens. And we need to really look into this scripturally and try to understand that when we sin, we invite the devil into our lives. And that's why Saint Hieronymus, when he says that, This sin is synonymous with the end of times, because in the Old Testament we have the classic typology of Sodom and Gomorrah, where everyone, young and old, in those cities were infected with that sin, and God eliminated all those people from the face of the earth. So we read in the Acts of the Apostles 7:42, in the Apology of Saint Stephen. Saint Stephen is apologizing. He's actually defending his faith, and he is telling the Jews the story of Moses and why did God abandon the Israelites. And in Acts 7:42, he says, after they made that golden calf, after they made the golden calf, God turned his face away from these people and gave them over to worship the host of heaven. So here we have people of God, but all of a sudden, instead of worshiping and glorifying God who saved them through the Red Sea, gave them manna for 90 days, it's about 90 days now, and they are at the Mount of Sinai, they demand from Aaron to make them a golden calf. So God gave them over to worship idols. So you want idols? I will let you go. The result is that God turned his face away from them. And when that happens, people turn into animals. They wanted a golden calf, so God allowed them to walk in the desert for 40 years with all kinds of loads on their back, like oxen. So in the region of the Gadarenes, remember when Christ went there to preach? The area of Gadarenes, the demoniac of the Gadarenes, when he exorcised the demons and the demons took off and went into some pigs and the pigs fell off the cliffs. What did the people, the residents of the Gadarenes, what did they say? Great, come on, visit us. They went out of their city and they told him, leave us alone. Leave. Don't come to us. And Christ left. And history tells us that these people turned into pigs. Literally. So when we persist in sin, when we stubbornly persist in sin and we reject God, then he abandons us. He leaves us. Now his love follows us, but from a distance. Because God respects, he reveres our freedom. He reveres our freedom. God will allow us to commit suicide. Of course, he does not want this, but he reveres our freedom so much that if we choose this, he'll let us do it. So when we stubbornly persist in sin, God condemns and punishes. We have two types of punishment. We have the disciplinary and the condemnatory. To the Jews in the desert, it was disciplinary. He disciplined them. He killed a few thousand. And the rest were allowed to live, to repent. But in the days of Noah, the punishment was condemnatory. He says, I will not allow my spirit to stay with these people because they have become flesh. These people have become flesh. So he destroyed everyone except Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. One way to distance honeybees is to introduce smoke in the hive. In the same way, the Spirit of God departs when we sin. Now, there's all kinds of sins, but there are two categories of sin that are very offensive. They are especially offensive to God. The sins of the flesh and sins of pride and arrogance. The sins of heresy. Heresy is extreme pride and extreme arrogance. When we want to change, when we want to change the teachings of the church, when the teachings of St. John the Chrysostom and all the church fathers and the tradition of the church, when we want to change this, we possess, when we feel that we can do things better, we possess an incurable amount of pride. And this is very odious to the Lord. And then he takes the spirit away from us. And this abandonment of God creates hell. Because without the light of God, we have hell. And that's exactly what we see in the homosexual agenda today. When God turns his face from people or a nation, then the ultimate delusion rushes in to overtake the abandoned people. Remember, all the demons rush in. And then we have the worship of idols. We have Satan worship. Today we have worship of crystals. We have self-worship. We pray on a daily basis, God, Lord, do not lead us into temptation. Now, God hands people over to temptation. What does it mean, do not lead me into temptation? Does God want to push somebody into temptation? Certainly not. God does not tempt anyone, St. James says, but we tempt ourselves. We sin constantly, and we do not want to give up our sinfulness. So when we pray, Lord, do not lead us into temptation, it's do not let us go, even though we sin on a daily basis, even though we are sinful. Please do not let us go. Hold on to us. Even though you should, hold on to us. Do not lead us into temptation that we cannot handle. Now, it's one thing to pray like this, Lord, do not lead us into temptation. But when we persist in our stubbornness, it's one thing to know that we are sinful, to know that we have passions, and ask for God's help. And it's another thing to turn around and spit in the face of God and tell him that you do not exist. We will find this condition in the first chapter of Romans. And St. Paul is speaking about the people in the Old Testament in these verses. But if St. Paul was alive today, he would speak even more strongly about the conditions that go on today. Unfortunately, history does repeat itself. Because they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Our scientists today, they have built the Tower of Babel. We have an answer for everything. They were claiming that 100 years from now, we will not need God. We will wipe out all diseases. The arrogance of these human beings. And of course, we do have a lot of inventions today, but I believe we have about 10 times as many diseases that we did about 100 years ago. So we thought we were wise, but we ended up being fools. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image and of corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Again, this refers back to the days of Noah and the Old Testament. And yes, true, most people today, they do not worship animals, and they do not worship statues. Some do. However, most people today worship themselves, the idol of wealth, the idol of family, because yes, even a family can become the purpose of our existence, and if that's the case, then that's an idol. The idol of health, the idol of athletics, an idol. If that's how we spend our Sundays day in and day out, might as well be an idol. the idol of good time, and of course the idol of pleasure. And because people do these things, and this is the key word, God gave them up. He let them go. And because people do these things, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies by themselves. I know there's some younger ones here today, but we have to talk about these things. I'm sure you hear them in school. God gave them up to the uncleanness. The Greek word is akatharsia. Akatharsia in the Holy Scripture means self-satisfaction. The church fathers call it self-fondling or masturbation, as they call it in your schools. So God gave them over to dishonor their bodies by themselves. Is this a fruit of idolatry? Yes, it's a fruit of idolatry, even this sin. These people exchange the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, second time, for this reason, God gave them up to passions of dishonor. The Greek word is atimia. So God gave them up to disgusting passions. Passions of disgust. Now, all passions are bad. No good passions. Alcoholism, having alcohol, anger. All these are not good. However, someone who likes wine and has a few now and then, people do not look at that person with disgust. As a matter of fact, some of these people are very likable. However, the Bible calls the passions of the flesh, and he's referring, St. Paul is referring to homosexuality here and other passions, as passions of disgust and dishonor. For even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. The Bible talks about these things. Lesbianism. It is a sin, and not just a sin, but a passion of dishonor. A disgusting passion, according to the Bible. Women exchange their natural use for what is against nature. We mentioned last week that we have natural sin and unnatural adultery between a man and a woman is natural. But it goes against the law of God. It's unlawful. However, homosexuality is not only against the law of God, but it's also unnatural. Something that the animals do not do. Goes against all laws of nature. Likewise, also, the males, St. Paul does not call them men. I know the English version here uses the word men, but the Greek says arsenes. The Greek says they are males. Likewise, they are males, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. A natural lifestyle, according to the homosexual agenda. They call this lifestyle normal, healthy, and happy. And people are buying this. We have a video that was produced by 6 ex-homosexual people. It's a tremendous video, and it's very revealing. Very revealing, because they know that lifestyle inside and out. What they want to teach our children is that this is a healthy, natural lifestyle. The truth is that the average homosexual man changes 254 partners in his lifetime, according to 2 surveys done by homosexuals, a homosexual psychologist and a homosexual psychiatrist in 1981. Out of 100 committed homosexual couples, the infidelity rate the first year was 95%. 95%. The bitter truth is that a homosexual male before the age of 30 will most likely have the HIV virus. The figure that they use is very low. They use a 30%. 30% is low with this kind of activity. The rate of suicide is sky high. The rate of alcoholism in that lifestyle is sky high. And the rate of disease is sky high. But every network in this country is portraying this lifestyle as safe and sound. And as we said, there are hundreds of activists right now in many, many high schools. Pennsylvania is one of the last baits for this stuff to come around. They start in California, and then they go to Massachusetts, and then they jump around. But in schools right now, even from the elementary school level, there are activists in there promoting homosexuality. And they do this in order to make it easier for the children that are homosexual. Teenagers are very, very confused to begin with. This is ridiculous that we cannot allow a person to vote until they're how old? 18? They cannot drink until they're 21. But at the age of 9 or 10, we can let them decide that they're homosexuals? It is pathetic. And this is exactly what the evil side of the homosexual agenda is. What they want to do right now, there's legislation right now to reduce the age of consent to 12 years old. So right now it's over 16, I believe, 16, 17. I believe it's probably 16, if not over. But they want to reduce that, and there's all kinds of legislation in the works. Again, this agrees totally with the Word of God that this lifestyle is shameful. It's a shameful act. And because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. To do things that even animals, because animals follow nature. But the human being, once again, that allowed all these demons to come in, because when we expel God from our lives, when we push God away, then the other one comes in. The devil comes in with our legion of demons. And we become idolaters. We become idolaters. So homosexuality is the fruit of idolatry. And because idolatry will be all around us once again towards the end of times, homosexuality and idolatry go hand in hand. Even Saint Paul says, do not be deceived, adulterers, fornicators. And between adulterers and fornicators, he wedges the word idolaters, because these passions make us act like idolaters, which means the grace of God has left us. The grace of God has left us. And the homosexual agenda, it kind of reminds us the behavior of the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Poor Lot. Here's Lot in this huge city that's close to 1 million people. It's like a 5-city area. He's the only one. He has 2 daughters. And he tells his future son-in-laws, God is going to burn the city. Let's go. They started laughing at him. They laughed. They thought he was joking. And the 2 angels that came from the mountain, remember the 3 angels that visited Abraham? The 3 angels. And we have these icons. They are the typology of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then the 1 angel went to heaven, the Father. And then the 2 angels, again in typology of the Son and the Holy Spirit, they go towards Sodom. And they walk in the middle of the town, and Lot sees them and invites them in. And they tell him, no, we'll stay out here. And the church fathers say, Christ likes us to kind of plead with him to come in. He wants us to invite him. And Lot persists, and they go inside the house, and he makes a feast for them. And then from everywhere, people start busting on the door. And they are forcing Lot. They are abusing Lot, and they are demanding that he gives them these 2 visitors so they can sin with them. And the Bible says, young and old, young and old, infested by the sin of homosexuality. And at that point, the 2 angels blinded them. And a few hours later, they burned them with fire and brimstone. Let's not let anybody think, and let's correct our own people, because I heard it from a lot of people, from our own people out there, that they accept this lifestyle because these people, they were born this way. We are sharing in their sin if we keep advising them like this. The truth is that this is a passion, and like every other passion, it can be healed, but not by psychology necessarily. See, in the 50s and 60s, the psychologists and the psychiatrists, they were treating homosexuality as a disease. They were treating it. There was all kinds of books on this. But when they saw how difficult this passion is, they gave up. because this is a very, very powerful demon. It's a very strong passion. So they reversed. They decided that let's not try to heal these people anymore. Let's just accept them. Cheap science, was one of the homosexuals in the video says, the ex-homosexual actually, and they do a phenomenal job. If we want to protect our children, it is no longer enough to just bring them to Sunday school for a few years. It is no longer enough to be good people. It is no longer enough to be a good mother and a good father. That's not adequate. What we need to do more than anything, we need to bring the church into our home. We need to have these children go to Holy Confession from very early on, 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 years old. Bring incense and icons in our home. Bring Bible trivia card instead of gambling cards around Easter and the holidays. We need to become conscientious Christians and bring the grace of God in the home. That's what's going to protect our children. And not all the material things that we give them. And we have to give a message to people out there that may suffer from this lifestyle. Christ can heal everything. The worst passion, his blood can heal it. And St. Paul attests to this. He attests to this. St. Paul once again says, do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. He's speaking to the Corinthians. Yes, in the church of Corinth, there were some ex-homosexuals. In the church of Corinth, there were some ex-adulterers. And by holy baptism, and by the sacraments of the church, and by the Spirit of God, these people were healed. And now they were constituting the body of Christ, the church. Everything can be healed through the blood of Christ.
It's encouraging that you're discussing this because many times we hear different comments and we really need to definitely know where we stand and how to respond. And it's true that in the 50s and 60s, even in Greece, I remember that they were treating then many spiritual fathers will say, you cannot really help them. The matter of the fact is that when people believe they have the one for this, we can always say, God created Adam and Eve, nothing between them. And there are people who have different inclinations. We correct them. We're Christians. We cannot allow passions to take over us. That's why we're fighters. It's very important for us always to know there are demons that are tempting us constantly to invade us. And this is another demon. And we fight against. And that is, if someone has this inclination more than someone else, it's called by the Lord to give a fight. And we're there with a prayer to support. And as Costa said, repentance. We repent and God is accepting. But this is the worst sin. That's why Sodom and Gomorrah, the Assyrians, Father Athanasius says, a whole nation, very strong, militarily and everything, nothing has left. A few years later when Alexander the Great went and was trying to find something, nothing, because the last even of their kings was a homosexual. God is punishing the nation, the people that are accepting this. It's the worst sin ever seen in the face of the earth. God cannot stand this. It's the abomination
of desolation. It's an abomination. Let's even surprise God. You know, when the two angels were visiting Abraham, and Abraham is, and they told him that we're going to go destroy that city, and Abraham's trying to save the city. Lord, if there's 100 good people in that city, are you going to destroy even those 100? He says, no, if I find 100, I won't. And you can read that in Genesis. But when God says, is it true? What I'm hearing, is it true? Let's go. Because this cannot be. God is talking among the three persons of the Holy Trinity. And he says, let's go. Let us go to Sodom to see if this cry that's coming up, is it true? Is this possible? So it's even surprising God that people could actually innovate something like this.
Εγκρατείας διδασκαλώνα ανέδειξες εν την πίμνη σου ή των πραγματών αλήθεια διά τούτο εκτίσω την ταπεινώση τα υψηλά.